Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on 1-8. After missing a couple of weeks because the show, we do it on Tuesday, usually. Mm-hmm. And the last two Tuesdays were holidays, so we didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. It was the Merry Christmas and the Happy New Year.
Nobody would be listening anyway during this period.
No, nobody would listen. Nobody would listen. I mean, they hardly listen as it is. Although, we, by the way, podcast awards were last night.
Oh.
And there was a nice mention of us.
Oh, good.
And it was nice. Leo Laporte was doing the whole shindig, and it was very, you know, nice to see him do all that. And then it was a nice little event there. But we were mentioned. No Agenda was mentioned. Disciplined Investor was mentioned. And none of us got awards.
Yeah, well, you know.
But
knowing that we do a good job is reward enough.
Right, exactly. And you know what? The reward was a 40... pound, not a euro, but a currency, the pound, a 40-pound gift certificate somewhere, which we probably would never use anyway.
What? A 40-pound gift certificate?
Well, it didn't weigh 40 pounds, but it was worth 40 pounds.
So it was a gift certificate for about 65 bucks.
Yeah, somewhere in, I guess, London or England, somewhere, or UK. So, anyway.
That stinks. Why don't they just give people a trophy?
Well, they give you a trophy also in a little envelope that nobody's going to use, so... Anyway, lots of things going on, as often as the case. We do see this year-end optimism coming into the new year, super optimism, which brought the bulls out, and we saw the markets rally pretty strongly, and we saw the senators and Congress people, you know, duck and cover, get something passed, because God knows we can't let the fiscal cliff take us all down. And
right.
We saw a 12th hour, and by the way, if the futures, in my opinion, if the futures had a few more hours to open, just a few more hours, they would have pushed it off even further.
Probably,
There was like a $300 billion.
They were after midnight. I thought that the thing was a deadline, but it turns out there was no midnight deadline.
Right. We did actually technically go over the fiscal cliff, but it didn't matter because we were on holiday. So there was really nothing that happened there. But what's interesting is that they let it go to the last minute. There was a bunch of people that were whining and hemming and hawing that we should increase the, increase taxes, of course, and they got some of that. And there's another side that was just hysterical about decreasing spending, which is kind of balancing out the whole deal, right? Well, it was like a miracle. Like out of nowhere, they dropped the $300 billion they were looking to get. I mean, just, you know, I guess it was only $300 billion. I guess that's why. And, you know, and then they passed it. They said, okay, let's go along with it. That's good. Markets got, you know, very excited because this is behind us. And now all of a sudden, you know, we have whatever it was, 4% higher on that news.
Now everybody sees it looks like we're in the midst of beginning a new bull market from the sounds of some of these analysts.
Right. And what's interesting is I think they forget that we're running out of money. As a country, as a matter of fact, the debt ceiling is going to pretty much be exhausted by the end of February, one way or another. And the next discussion that's going to take place is this whole idea that, hey, Mr. President, you want another how much? You just spent like $2 trillion in the last 12 months or so, and you want to increase the debt ceiling even more. Hmm. But the Republicans supposedly are going to put their backs up and say, you know what? We're not doing a thing unless you curtail spending. This was the win that they gave was a setup to this next thing, which is a much more potent and powerful issue, because if you can't have any more, I'm not sure if this is good or bad, but if you don't have any more money, the government shuts down. Some would think that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, it usually is. But this debt ceiling thing, this whole thing is ridiculous. And what bothers me the most is that everyone keeps talking about cuts. But these are not cuts. These are cuts in increases. So instead of increasing whatever your budget is for whatever department by 50%, you cut it 50%. Well, all you're doing is cutting the increase 50%. Nobody's actually pulling anything that's important.
Isn't this like a store that raised their price 30% but then gives you a 20% discount?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Big sale, 20% off.
Right. So now we have the showdown coming. And by the way, just to let everybody know, and if you haven't seen it yet, your paycheck will be going down coming very shortly.
I thought it was going... Oh, yeah, going down, right.
Going down. The payroll taxes are going up. There will be additional tax also posted because of the Obamacare. Not to mention that they're raising premiums again pretty much across the board. And we'll see what's going to happen for those of you earning us, you and us, earning a little bit more money, where you can have some of your various deductions cut and your various tax rates increased, dividend tax rates and capital gains, as well as income tax, just regular income tax. So the fact is that there is less money that will be in the economy right now because the spending hasn't been constrained, so that's going to keep in the economy. But yet at the same time, taxes are going to take some out. So with that, and on the heels of Superstorm Sandy, and on the heels of the whole consumer confidence drop off a cliff and slow down here, slow down there, they're pushing the stocks up.
Yeah, this is- it makes sense to me.
The buy programs, you got to love them. And on top of that, by the way, you have to realize that analysts are cutting their estimates dramatically. So today was the start of earnings season. Alcoa comes out with a number, and just as you would imagine, they hit it right on the nose, to the penny. 6 cents they got on their earnings, and their estimates were 6 cents.
Wow.
That's after about a 30% decrease in estimates over the last 4 weeks.
Well, as long as you get it at the right, as long as it hits it at the last minute.
Yeah. But they brought the stock up a whole bunch of percent over the last several weeks. So you have the stock going up, earnings estimates coming down, and meeting the lower earning estimates, and the stock 1.5% after hours, and you know, some material stocks around the world are rallying. It's just a very funny thing.
Well, by the way, your Skype connection is not up to par.
Really?
Yeah, I'm losing a couple words here and there.
Yeah, it's not usually important. Don't worry about
it. Are you downloading porn?
I'm not. Maybe somebody in my house is. I'll ask my wife.
So what do you think is going to happen this next year? I mean, you know, the old rule is if things go up in January, it goes up for the whole year. But I noticed that's failed a lot recently.
I hate all those things. You know, that whole, I mean, the CLMA.
Rules.
It just, those things are great and they make great headlines. That's all they are. They don't always come true. I mean, because what is the point of what happens in January happens for the year? Where is that, you know, is it just something that happens to happen more than 50% of the time? Here's the deal. I think that all things being equal, if you look at the headwinds that we have currently, the fiscal cliff situation, as well as the next round of issues that will come, the consumer retrenchment, the fact that there is less money in the system, and earnings look like, from a global standpoint, they're slowing a bit, it would look to me that we will see a continuation of this, you know, push money into the markets for a while, and this buy on the dip mentality has been going on. But I do believe that, you know, if we don't get any real resolution to doing anything, you know, we could see a very significant drop off into the mid to latter part of the first quarter, and that could be down to about 1295 on the S&P 500, and that's by calculations that we're doing based on the earnings estimates that are coming in and the revenue estimates, which are very wide apart.
Huh.
That doesn't mean individual positions can't do well. But the broad-based thesis, I just can't see. It's getting very tired at this point.
Yeah. No, I'm actually stunned that the market's not kind of hanging around, you know, 11,000. But that's whatever.
Yeah, the other thing is that I think that when you look at why the, you know, what are the catalysts for the market right now? I mean, a lot of it has to do with the Fed. And the Fed is already talking. They're starting to hint around that they may start to slow down the purchases. Now, they talk about it on one hand. They'll do it if there's going to be an unemployment rate down by 6.5%. And they'll do it if this and do it in that. And then they come out and they say, well, now we're going to possibly before the end of 2013 cut back. And you're thinking, wait a minute. They just talked 3 weeks ago about a new employment mandate. Now they're coming in with this. So there's a lot of confusion of what's going on. And I think that it's all dependent on keeping the confidence high through all this bullshit that's going on with Congress.
So what's going on with the Japanese stock market?
Unbelievable. It went from about 8,500 to about 10,500 in the last 6 weeks. Something ridiculous. The yen went from about 79 to about 88, which is good, meaning it's lower against the dollar.
Yeah, that's
nice.
And
that helps their exporters. The yen was way too overvalued for the longest period of time, and it was really it was nonsense. And it finally cracked when there was a new regime that came in, new government that came in, that was very serious about heavy-duty stimulus. Now, I don't know how much more of their bonds they could buy because it's, you know, they have debt that dwarfs most continents, the amount of debt that Japan has. So they're continuing to try to press down their yen, and that's going to be good for exporters. And they're a major exporting country, so that's good for them.
Yeah, we'll get some of their stuff more reasonably priced, I guess.
Right. Did you see the price of the – let me think about it. You know what the – what's it called? The Shinki fish market in Tokyo?
No.
You know that fish market, right?
Yeah.
So everybody gets there early and all that, and they have these giant tuna. The first tuna of the year is usually
– oh, the lucky tuna.
Yeah, it's Charlie the tuna. He gets fetched. I think he got like $1.5 million.
Oof, yen.
No, in dollars.
Why?
Because
wait, let me guess. Because the Japanese are crazy.
Yeah, that too. But I guess because it's a whether it's good luck or whatever it is, take it back to the restaurant. Hey, we're the only restaurant that has the first. You know, we don't have these kind of things in our culture. You know what I mean? We don't have like, oh my gosh, the color red, the number this, the that. I mean, that's a cultural superstition that goes on there. But the restaurant buys it and they serve it, and they serve it at reasonable prices. They pack the store in, you know? People want the first tuna of the year.
There's some superstition we do with the Super Bowl.
What, with the stock market, you mean?
Yeah. They don't win with the American. If the American League wins, you get the
that's like Groundhog Day we have too, I guess, right?
Yeah, none of this works.
Yeah, but they have just a more – they all really get into it, it seems. We don't really get into it as much. It's more
– yeah, it's like the license plate or the number 8 in China.
Yeah.
The license plate – if you get a license plate number 8, you can trade it. It's worth millions.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, there's stories about, like, places that have – like casinos that they have certain words and things like that. If they have the number 13 in it or something odd like that, they freak out. They won't even play there.
Right.
You know? But, yeah, the yen is dropping to multi-month lows, and it's good for the stock market. The stock market has been – I mean, it's if you look at the chart, it's like it's a 45-degree or maybe even harsher.
Hockey stick.
It's unbelievable. It really is. I think we should talk about this whole Boeing issue. Have you been tracking this?
Yeah. You know, I've been tracking it since it began, actually, because I thought this was going to be – the 787 is what we're going to talk about. Which I thought was going to be a fiasco based on the enthusiasm. I think, by the way, if I was a shareholder in Boeing, I would demand the CEO's head.
I mean, let's back up a little bit. Why don't we talk about what happened and what's happening here? Now, this is the new Dreamliner. This is the new plane.
The new plastic plane.
New plastic plane. It has a longer, I guess, flight capabilities. It also much lighter.
It's made out of plastic. It's a lot lighter, and it gets really great gas mileage.
And it's really cool inside.
Well, it's cool as it can be.
Yeah. And it's been first of all, it was late to be...
Late.
Very late.
Late, really late. And yeah, why was it late, you ask? Well, the company decided to outsource pretty much everything. And not just outsource it to like little companies around the Seattle area where they make these planes. But all around the world, it was just a fiasco from the beginning. You can't, you know, this is one of the highest tech products that anybody makes in the world, but yet they're going to outsource all these subsystems. You know, I mean, a lot of it was, yeah, you could probably outsource a few things, but they massively outsourced. And then they had, you know, one of these programs, you know, these Gantt charts or something that shows, well, you know, here's how it's going to go. and which, you know, have all these time deadlines, you know, these charts I'm talking about.
Right, the planner charts.
Big planner chart.
With lots of colors, then lots of lines.
Arrows going this way and that way. We're actually always going from left to right. But anyway, so the... You know, but there were so many bottlenecks because there were, you know, you can't put this in if you don't have this bolt because this bolt has been outsourced to some guy who actually can't make the bolt, but he could bid on it. And you ended up with this. And now, when they finally got everything together, the plane's a piece of crap.
Well, it seems like this all started November 9th of 2010 when a fire aboard a test forced an emergency landing. Then on January 18th, 2011... there was some kind of, January 18th, All Nippon Air, one of my favorite airlines now, by the way. It was delayed, and there was a test jet fire was a problem with it, and no electrical panel and the power in the panels. Then on August 18th, there was some kind of predictive maintenance service done. And then on December 4th, United 787 makes an emergency landing in New Orleans. Six of its generators failed, only six. December 5th, the FAA announces an airworthiness directive to 787 inspections after two fuel leaks on planes. Then on December 14th, 787 from United Airlines had problems with electrical panels. Qatar Airlines Airways said a 787 remains grounded with faulty generator that is similar to United Airlines. And then yesterday, the U.S. officials investigating a Japan Airlines flight out of Boston for a fire in the avionics bay.
Oh, that plastic airplane on fire is not my idea of a good day.
Right, it probably doesn't smell very well either. And then today, a 787 returned to Logan Airport with a fuel leak.
Another fuel leak.
Yep. So you got fuel leaks, you got fires, and you got something to do with the electrical side. So obviously it looks like an electrical. Maybe the electrical thing in plastic doesn't mix so well. Maybe they put fire retardant plastic on
it. It would seem to me that you have a the generator, whoever made the generator. And, you know, we should identify these companies. This kind of bothers me. You know, Boeing takes, of course, Boeing's, you know, idiotic for taking this project and to this extreme and outsourcing it with not the same kind of inspectors that you'd have when it's done locally, which is the problem, inspection. I mean, it's like the crappy steel that we get from China to build a bridge we're building over here in San Francisco.
Right.
And then when our inspectors look at it, say, this is no good. Who approved this? And, you know, somebody approved it because somebody in Asian cultures in particular, they had to save face. Yep. And so nobody could say this is no good. Apparently, it's very difficult to say that. You can't say this is no good, which is, makes it very difficult to do some of these high tech products. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we have a situation here where Boeing is, I mean, they must be having meetings constantly.
Well, the stock's only off about 4.5% since all this, well, in the last several days. But what's interesting is, you know, you still got these bulls that are saying, hey, this is a great thing. This is a major issue. This is not like a faucet by Moen that doesn't work.
No, like, this is their new flagship product.
Not to mention that people are flying in this thing.
Right. A couple of these things go down.
Yep.
With a lot of people in them, and the lawsuits start flying, especially after all this background where it already shows that the plane has issues.
Right.
They're just going to be slammed with lawsuits if something bad happens, and it could. I think really the shareholders and the board of directors are completely responsible for this fiasco.
Yep. I would agree. I mean, and then you have if it keeps on popping up in the news, you got people be like, hey, what kind of plane is that I'll be flying today? 787. You know what? Is there another?
Yeah, I'll take a different flight. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So that could be interesting. I mean, we've had in the past, we've had amazing planes and amazing aircraft that have been junk. Look at the Concorde.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, anyway. Wouldn't it be interesting if they had to scrap the plane?
I said, what was the Concorde had one crash, right?
Yeah, a wheel came off on a takeoff, and it.
The whole thing was scrapped.
Well, they didn't. It wasn't for that reason. The thing was unprofitable. It was a poorly thought out concept. It was too expensive to fly it.
2 hours from New York to London.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right.
My grandfather was on that. He said it was awesome.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you're in a tube and you're going like a bat out of hell.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's see. What else is happening here? You know, I almost want to skip down a little bit to some of the things I wrote. Interesting, in your neck of the woods. It seems that, declining migration and falling birth rate have led to a drop in the number of children in California, just as baby boomers reach retirement, creating an economic and demographic challenge for the nation's most populous state. Do you notice there's not much children running around?
No, I haven't seen this. I see a lot of children running around.
So this is, you can't, from your evidence, this is totally untrue.
Well, I mean, it's possible in this broader scheme of things that maybe it is true, but I'm not seeing, it's not something I'm noticing.
This is the big problem we have in the U.S., by the way. We've talked about this, I think, about the whole change in the demographics.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is exactly happening in California.
Well,
I don't know.
We shouldn't have too much of a problem here because we're going Latino. I mean, it's going to be, within the next few years, it's going to be a majority of Latinos running the state of California and taking the credit for all the miserable parts of the state that aren't working right.
Talking to a guy from South Florida, my friend.
Yeah, you get the same kind of thing.
Yeah, so if you need any kind of information or maybe a couple lessons in, you know, how to, you know, greet people or, you know, if somebody cuts you off, the right thing to say in Spanish, you know, in the car so they understand what you're saying, aside from flipping them the bird. Or the thing of trying to pay for something in a shopping store, in a Publix, and you just cannot communicate with the person that's the cashier.
Right.
I'll be happy to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll call you when I have a problem.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so getting back to a couple different things here. So it seems that Congress, a new poll is out, a public policy poll. This is pretty interesting that we'll see how accurate this is, but it seems that a new poll is out that's showing that Congress and, you know, the people in government are less popular than cockroaches, lice, root canals, colonoscopies, traffic jams, used car salesmen, and Genghis Khan.
You know, this comes up a lot. And if this is true, I mean, everyone says this, and if you do a poll, you get this sort of thing. But this is absolutely true. Why did 95% of Congress get reelected?
Yeah. And who knows Genghis Khan anyway? I couldn't comment if I liked the congressman better than Genghis Khan.
Well, I think you probably should like a congressman better than Genghis Khan. Of course, he might throw a good party, you don't know. Whatever the case, it seems to me that if it's so bad, why are you reelecting these people? And that's what the public's doing. So it's the public's hating, the self-hatred, self-loathing public.
Yeah? Is that what it is?
Well, what else could it be? You say, oh, these guys are terrible. Oh, you can have my vote. You're in. Go in and try again. Why don't you vote? Why don't you just vote them out? Everyone, yeah. The argument is, well, everyone likes their own congressman, but
well,
you know,
maybe it's also a little of a, hey, I know what I got now, and it's bad. It could only get worse.
No, it's not. It's the public's idiots. They're idiots. They don't even think to figure out what the other guy wants to do, or whether they vote party line, or there's a million things that are a problem, and it's the public's fault, not the Congress.
All right, so we got to give ourselves. We don't like ourselves. We're below Genghis Khan.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And the roach.
Yep. So I guess that as we talk about this whole fiscal cliff thing, we have to bring up the most intriguing / stupid / irritating / oh, my gosh, is this really true concept that's being tossed around. And do you know about this trillion-dollar coin idea?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we actually talked about that on the No Agenda show.
I figured.
We didn't talk about it for long because we just passed it off as an idiotic idea that gets a lot of – it's clever, and so it gets a lot of publicity, and everybody's playing it as something that could be done. And apparently, technically, it's legal to print. It has to be – if you're going to print one of these coins – it has to be in platinum. That's the only thing that makes
which makes no sense, but okay.
It's in the law, so there's some law about this.
Yeah, so the law says that the Treasury is the Treasury Secretary, Treasury Department, can actually, in certain times, which leaves it very wide open, can actually print a platinum coin in any denomination. So, you know, of course, they come up with a trillion. So now the idea is they take a trillion-dollar coin, one coin. They mint one coin. And what they do is they put that on deposit at the Fed. And the Fed then basically hands them back $1 trillion and says, hey, we have the money to back it up. You really didn't print any new money because here's the new money. And it's an even Steven thing. It's left pocket, right pocket stuff. And what happens is then that's enough money to fund the government moving forward. And you can kind of do an end run around the whole fiscal debt ceiling discussion.
Right.
Now, is there... even though this is possible, do you think there is any shred of sanity in this?
No. And I don't think it would even come close to being executed. There's no way. They would be up for so much criticism for doing this that it would. And who knows what it would do to the markets. And that's another variable that they're afraid of.
Yeah, I mean, because essentially what you're
doing. And why would do one coin, by the way, if you're going to pull this stunt? Make 100 of them.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Well, then you start getting into, well, you don't start. You continue getting in and really delving into the idea of printing money and really devaluing your currency more than you do here. But I don't think there's any. I'm thinking about this, and, you know, getting the Hope Diamond and various artworks, and, you know, these are under very high security and all that. Who's going to steal this $1 trillion coin? I mean, you can't go pawn it, right? That's not going to happen.
It sounds like a James Bond movie.
Yeah, and then, but what are you going to do? You can't, like, cut it up and divvy it out and spend it slowly. So, you know, it's kind of silly. Why even bother with it as a coin? So I don't know who thinks of these things. They got these guys, I guess, reading over this crap and trying to figure out ways around things all the time, which is in itself disturbing. The whole point of the debt ceiling is to constrain spending.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't worked. You might as well just get rid of it.
It might as well. And that's what they tried to do. President Obama tried to.
I think, you know, I've listened to some economists talk about this, and they say it's crazy. It wastes too much time. When's the last time they said no to raising the debt ceiling?
As a matter of fact, they have not.
They have never done that. So they're going to. So essentially becomes a bargaining chip. But it's a waste of time and effort. Just get rid of it and find other things to do with your argument time. I mean, this is ridiculous. Just get rid of it. Live with the fact that we're out of control spending and vote some of these guys out or let the economy collapse. I was watching some guy who was the head of the budget, one of the budget operations, the Congressional Budget Office or something back in the late 80s. And he said that he says the only way we're going to get out of any of this mess is to have a sovereign debt crisis at some point and then just, you know, let it collapse and get, you know, start rebuilding it so it works better. Because right now, it's just completely crazy. There's no way that this can continue. And the other thing, did you notice that part of this argument, did you notice that the whole phrase, I never heard this phrase before, probably 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago at the most, maybe not even that long, maybe only a few years, kick the can down the road, which everybody uses as a meme. And I don't remember when I was a kid. I never heard that when I was a kid referring to the economy as kicking the can down the road. Oh, we got to make all these fixes, but let's just put it off a couple of months so you kick the can down the road, which is exactly what we've been doing. I mean, it's a good description. But the fact that it exists now as a meme indicates to me that it's something that's in the public domain because we're doing stuff like this all the time. We're just asking for trouble. This is not a good situation.
Well, you know what? We're not going to waste any more breath on this because it's you're right. It is a toxic and a waste of time, even though it's out there and it's real. But you know what? Let's have an edict here that on DH Unplugged, we're not going to even talk about this crap anymore with regard to the debt ceiling.
Right. I'm
not going to even give it the time.
I think that $1 trillion coin idea is the most ludicrous thing we've ever talked about or anyone has, and it all has to do with this debt ceiling thing. It doesn't mean anything if the market's going up. When the market goes up, goes down, apparently it's got a mind of its own, and that's what we care about.
I wonder whose face will be on it, though. We should put, like, Mr. Magoo or somebody.
Oh, Obama. That's what they suggested, right. Obama.
Moving, really? Is that right?
Yeah,
moving. Well, that's only going to instill the idea. Now, they talk about, by the way, Treasury Secretary Geithner is stepping down. The kneecapper will be stepping down, and supposedly before the talks about the topic that we can't talk about anymore. And the topic that can't be named. And he's going to be stepping down. And the question is, who is going to be the next Treasury Secretary? Well, a variety of names have been brought up. I mean, the latest one, which I think I'll have to chop my own head off, is Krugman.
What?
Paul
Krugman, the writer?
Yeah,
why don't they just give me the job?
I think you do a far better job. You have a much more sense, much more balance. I mean, this guy is all for just spill it out and give all the money away. he's as left as they come in terms of.
Oh yeah, it'd be fun. I think at least it'd give us something to talk about.
That's true.
But jeez, I wouldn't. I do not believe that they'd make a columnist a secretary of the Treasury.
Well, they made an actor president.
The public voted that actor in. He wasn't chosen.
Oh. Huh.
And besides that, he was always politically active, all the way back to the 30s. Clint Eastwood was always politically active.
Sonny Bono?
No, I don't know what the deal is with him.
Yeah. How about the wrestler guy?
Oh, that guy. He still made the comment recently. What is his name? From Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
That guy.
I can see his face.
I can't think of his name. Yeah. But anyway, he says that if he ran for president, he'd probably win. And I was thinking he probably would.
Unbelievable. Okay, so listen, there's a big meeting tomorrow. Herbalife, you've heard of the stock, right? Herbalife, this is the company that sells a variety of diet/health drinks, supplements, foods, and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about this company. Now, I liked them for a long time, and we actually had them in our portfolio. We sold it out and kind of moved on. But, you know, stock started really, then started teetering over, and there was all of a sudden this whole hoo-ha after about a year ago, or maybe a little bit less than that. David Einhorn came on, a well-known hedge fund manager who does a lot of shorting, and asked a couple of questions about revenue recognition and all that. Didn't say anything really negative, just asked a few questions. Stock went down like 20% on the earnings call.
Yeah, it's the Einhorn effect.
Yep. Well, then we have, coming into this, after the fact, a friend of his, Ackman. And Ackman comes in, and he starts really looking into this company very significantly. He's got some tip from some guy that tells him this and that. Well, Ackman accumulates about 20 million shares short. 20 million. Hmm. That's a lot of money. Okay? Stock drops. He puts out a presentation about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, about how this is a pyramid scheme. It is a fraud. He has a website dedicated to this. He put out a website dedicated to how this company is a fraud. Okay?
Wow.
He puts his best idea at the Irisone Conference, very high, well-known charitable event where hedge fund managers come out and they give their best ideas. And moreover, to even make it much more scintillating and much more attractive, he says, any profit that we make on this will be given to charity.
Wow.
Which kind of takes out the whole doing it for profit motive, right? It's more of a public service discussion.
Yeah.
So this is what's going on right now. And tomorrow, and of course the company.
You don't have a link to the website.
Oh, it's easy to find. Just right here. I'll give you. I'll find it.
Give me a Google search term.
It's look up Ackman, Achman, Herbalife site.
Okay. Well, there's Herbalife.com real facts.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Ackman, no, this is from Herbalife.com. It wouldn't be that.
Oh, no, they have their own one coming out here. Let's see. Let me go down here.
Herbalife's been around forever.
Yep. His crusade.
Here, Forbes has two articles. One ran on the 19th, why Bill Ackman is wrong on Herbalife, and then on the 22nd, why Bill Ackman is right on Herbalife. That's useful.
Well, there's also another activist investor that's out there. I mean, this is all over here. Let's see. Let me see if he has a website. Come on. Where is it? I know he has a website. Let's see.
All these operations, I mean, are pyramid schemes in some sense. I mean, you can say the same thing to those guys. What's the big one? The monster. Amway.
Amway, yep.
Why doesn't he go after them?
Or Avon to a degree, I guess, right?
Avon to a lesser extent, but Amway's a monster. I mean, it's really built on, you know, hiring people to sell for you, and you get a piece of the action and all that. It's called multi-level marketing. Why doesn't he just go after the whole idea?
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, what's the difference really between – I can't believe I can't find his website. Mm-hmm. Plunge and Ackman doubles down on Einhard. This is December 19th.
Let's see. I can't find it either.
Back in May, this is now we have a storage – Oh, man. It's somewhere here.
Maybe Google
facts
has it.
Yeah, the facts about Herbalife.com.
Facts about Herbalife.com.
Facts about, let's see, disclaimers are so, yeah. This disclaimer is issued in connection with, so, yeah, I have read the terms. Facts about, yeah, here it is. Facts about Herbalife.com. Mm. Facts.
There it is. I got it. Finally showed up on Google by typing in Ackman Herbalife site facts about.
Mm-hmm.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, just so you
know. Okay. Agree.
It's a webcast. It's a presentation.
So he's just trying to trash these guys.
It's unbelievable. I mean, let's see. It was at Nutrition Clubs. Let's look at that, what he says. Presentations, rules, financial advertising. Let's see what, I don't know, pictures.
Where did you get Nutrition Clubs? I don't see
These are pictures of the
Oh, there it is. There it is. I see it.
He's got guys walking around with cameras taking pictures of these guys.
Herbalife Nutrition Clubs.
He's got all this stuff about this. And basically what he's saying is this, that basically you come into this deal. They're targeting low-income individuals, maybe people without jobs, et cetera, to come in and sell the deal, right? And to come in and become an affiliate or whatever.
Yeah, the way it worked, that's the way, that is multi-level marketing. That's right. What it's and called. To, Everybody knows how it works.
And to come in, you have to pay X amount of dollars to get your starter kit, your education.
Right, you always have to buy a kit.
Right, and that money basically essentially goes up to the higher-ups, you know, up the chain, of course, right? And those people at the top make all this money. And at the end of the day, the people toward the bottom are left holding the bag. Don't sell anything, don't make any money, et cetera. I mean, we've seen this with water filters, you know, that whole thing that went on.
It's a million of these operations. You never see the product. They're not interested in selling the product.
Mm-hmm.
I had a, back in the 90s, I had taken out a, there was some diet stuff that was made from ground up lobster shells, Ketosan. And I had gotten a, somebody got me on one of these multi-level marketing things to sell this stuff with Nu Skin, you know, those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one of these operations.
Yep, exactly.
So I decided to roll out a website and sell it to everybody I could, which I did. I was selling quite a bit of it. And they shut me down. They said, this is no good. You can't be selling the product.
Oh, come on. Really?
You haven't signed anybody up.
Oh, I see. Oh, right, because they want you to sign people up. You get a piece of that action, and then that's where their real money comes from.
Yeah, I signed nobody up. I was just selling product.
Hmm.
And no, you can't do that. It's against the rules. No, you have to. You only can sell in this little area. You can't sell like on a website nationwide. It's no good. And that was it. They pulled the plug on me, and that was the end of me.
Mm. You know, this is
EasyDiet.com, I believe, was the website.
Great name. Great name.
I had everything going, but then, you know, I never ran into the real bugaboo about multi-level marketing, which is it's about multi-levels more than it is marketing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way it is.
And now you have these shopping clubs, and I have friends.
But why pick on the one, the Herbalife? I mean, you could pick on any of them.
Well, because they're publicly traded.
Oh, I think, isn't Amway?
I don't know.
Okay, well, it could be just because they're public. Well,
Nu Skin is.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Tupperware for a while was kind of like that. Although they didn't.
No, but you still had product. You saw people, right. You go to their house, they'd have Tupperware. They'd have this stuff. It was kind of cool.
Tupperware parties. Do you remember those?
Yeah, they had the Tupperware party, and then people would actually buy the product. I mean, it was... not just selling more sales. You know, instead of selling the product, you sell people on selling it. And then
recruiting. It's all about recruiting.
Yeah.
What's interesting also is, I mean, these shopping clubs, I have these people that I know that are very successful, and I get these emails. They want me to come to the thing and present because it's going to be great, and I'll save all this money and shop. I mean, oh, I'm like, dude, Amazon, online this. Online, what do I need another shopping club for? I'm a member of the biggest shopping club in the world. It's called the Internet. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, some of these things are dead.
Yeah. Anyway, so this, just to kind of pull this all together here, there is a significant conference tomorrow. Herbalife is coming out strong with their lawyers and this law firm that they hired to come out and defend their good name. This is happening tomorrow. I don't know exactly the time. I think it was maybe it's 10 in the morning or so. But there's a big shareholder meeting, and they're going to talk about this. We are short these shares. We'll see what happens. We think there was a run-up into the last few days, a little bit of a run-up into this. Now, oh, by the way, Ackman also said that during the time over the last several weeks where the stock dropped, I don't know, 40%, then came back 20%, that he has not sold or covered one share Not one share has been covered. One of the things is that could be a real problem, and this would actually lead me to believe that this is a bigger scam versus not being a scam if you were kind of on the sidelines of which way it was going.
Mm-hmm.
If they do a move, there's some talk about a move where they'll take and do a bundle up of the shares and a rollback of the shares and then reissue the shares. This would squeeze the crap out of the shorts. And a little bit of a complex maneuver. But if they did something like that, where they did a end run just to try to break the shorts, which, you know what? They can do whatever they want. The shorts tried to break them, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what shorts do.
So the thing is that if they do something like that, that would lead me to believe that this is more of a questionable company than not. I mean, a company that is solid and doesn't have
I'm not completely in agreement with this. It seems to me that if these guys are trying to screw me and I have a mechanism that I can use to screw them over, why would that make me more questionable than if I just sat there passively?
If you sat there passively, at the end of the day, everything's going to work out and all the right things are going to happen, and they're not going to just get crushed like, what was that online firm? Remember that guy? They just killed this guy with the shorts, just wrecked him?
No. Well, I mean, I don't remember. I mean, I kind of...
It was an online buying company.
No.
Like, big deals or big lots or big somebody. Anyway, so...
Maybe it was Big Lots.
Nah, I don't think that was it. There was somebody out there. Know okay, you guys know what I'm talking about, the listeners. So probably somebody banging on their iPod. Right,
where is there a chat room?
Exactly. So, Overstock.com.
Oh, okay, right. Overstock, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. So the same kind of thing happened. They couldn't hold up to it, and they got just blown out. But, you know, I just don't think this is the same situation. If it is a solid company and things are going right and they're...
You know, they do $3.9 billion.
Right.
It's nothing to sneeze at. It seems that they must be selling some product. How many kits can you sell for $3.9 billion to new salespeople? 10 is the EPS, which is reasonable. The PEG is 0.6, which is good.
Well, that all happened recently because the stock came down.
Oh, the stock came right. Shame. Okay, well.
Yeah, so that's a big issue.
Well, what did it happen? Like, did it come down?
It came down.
Okay. Was it 45? It bounced down to 25. It's back up to 40 almost.
Yep.
And of course, it was as high as 70, and it had a huge hit back.
That was the Einhorn hit.
That was in May?
Huh?
Well, so Einhorn hit him in May. And so then the thing went from 70 down to like 50 area. Bounced around. And then the second hit dumped it down further to 25. Now, if you think there's anything good in that company, it looks like it might be a good long-term buy.
Yeah, we bought the company and actually made a nice little profit on it. And then we went about maybe 3 days ago, went short, a small piece. So into this, and again, it was up about 5.5% today into this because a lot of people are like, hey, wait a minute. They say they're coming out with a major announcement, something tomorrow. So we'll have to see what happens here. But oftentimes you see that the hedge funds will wait very patiently on the side and then attack it again. So we'll see what happens. Hey, so what are you hearing about from the CES? Anything exciting?
A lot of television sets, 4K TV, something you might want to get. It's got...
4K as in $4,000?
No, as in 4,000 pixels per, something.
I can't remember.
Yeah, actually, it's very pretty. You can see every wrinkle on everyone's face. But the problem is you don't get this... I mean, most of this stuff's not broadcast in this resolution. So it's all up-converted. Because the broadcasting gear is either 720p or 1080p.
Right, and so you have the upsampling, and then it just screws with it.
Yeah, the upsampling algorithms have been, they started those back in the days when Faruja was still in business in the 90s. And you used to buy a line tripler or a line doubler. He used to sell for, they were like $5,000. You'd buy this thing, and you'd put it on your equipment. It would just improve the heck out of it because he had all the, this guy's something of a genius. He's like a Dolby. And he, then they started incorporating the line doublers in the DVD players so you could play old DVDs and then double the resolution, essentially. And it looked great, which a lot of people think killed high-def Blu-ray DVDs because you didn't really need them, even though they are noticeably better if you know what to look for. And, so it's just one of these things. You just, I mean, it's like... the TV, it essentially turns the screen you get at a theater into your home TV.
I mean, well, the theater.
That's 4K, has that I believe. It's 4K in the theater.
I saw Django last week.
Oh, yeah?
See that movie?
No.
Let me just say something. I think it was Jamie Foxx is the guy in it, right? There's a scene in there. I'm not going to give away the movie.
Go ahead.
He's hanging out upside down, nude.
Yeah?
I just like to say that. That was an impressive scene, if you know what I'm saying. That was a very impressive scene.
Yeah, it could have been augmented.
Yeah, I was, let me just say, I felt very, I felt.
You felt less a man.
Yes, I did. I'm like, is that normal? Because I don't know. But, you know, if nothing else, he gets the award, though. He gets the Long Schlong Award. If nothing else, if the Academy Awards. That was a good movie. I liked it. You know, it was a classic Tarantino. Tarantino.
Yeah, movie. Tarantino.
Classic kind of strange things that he does in that, you know, the movie. So, anyway. All right, anything else from CES? Anything else exciting? Any other devices? Any other, I don't know, something?
No, I don't, you know, I've been following as much as I can. I didn't go because it's, like, stupid. It's like a really miserable trip. It's like crowded and there's too many reporters and they're all scrounging around. And it's just, you get to see a few people and say hi and promise to do lunch and you never do lunch. It just really gets on your nerves.
I went once. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Going once in a while is fine. If you go once every 5 years, I think you've seen it because it's really, there's nothing that hasn't been there before. Okay. That we have not seen a 55-inch OLED television.
Right.
That's true. But that'll, you know, it's, but most of the stuff has been, you know, it doesn't move that fast. I mean, the newer cameras will be there, but, you know, there's too crowded around those booths anyway.
As a matter of fact, the one I went to, I recall very distinctly that the Nikon had a new camera out. And one of the cool things that it did, it had a wireless gadget on it where just, you know, bling it right to your computer. That, at the time, that was brand new.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's. So I didn't go, and I've been following it, though, as close as I can, and I've not noticed anything ground-shaking or earth-shattering or whatever you want to call it.
What about this announcement that we hear that Apple may be looking at a lower-end phone that may be plastic and
a little
cost-effective?
Phone. Yeah, a mini phone or something, a little cheap phone.
I don't get that. I mean, now that they say it's for those countries that maybe can't afford it, et cetera, but I've been around, and it seems like I don't care how much money you have. People can afford it somehow.
Yeah, no. People are buying the more expensive phones all over the world, even though they have no money. People with no incomes, they're essentially on the dole, and they still scrounge around to get one of these phones.
Right, because it's much more than a phone. It's really, for most people, it's
a flashlight.
That is true. And an alarm clock.
Right. A lot of people use it for alarm clocks, which baffles me.
And they're very into Angry Birds.
And Angry Birds, a good game machine.
Yeah. So, anyway, gold is down about 10% from its recent highs. Corn has been smacked, but good. Wheat and soybeans as well. So I wanted to get your take on gold a little bit. Now, if you remember something, I went short gold. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was a nice little play there. Hopefully somebody out there got that idea and went with it because gold has been down very nicely. It's sub 1700. As a matter of fact, 1650 something now, something like that. So that was down pretty dramatically, and I think that there potentially could be a little bit more downside from it, although it's starting to stabilize a little bit at these prices. But corn and wheat, corn had that parabolic move, remember, after the droughts and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it came down pretty sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, really pretty ugly, and wheat and soybeans cannot get any legs at all, which is really interesting. Here, I have something
from the... So gold's down to 1658 as we speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, from the I can't believe this, you're not going to believe this either, department. AIG is going to be looking to sue the government for things that were related to the bailout.
I know. This is a very funny story.
How does that work?
I don't know.
I mean, I thought you can't sue the government.
I have no idea.
So they're going to sue the government for saving their ass. Because they didn't like... This is like, you know, the old... You know, you got a guy who's on the beach drowning. You run in there, you save him. And you, you know, you grab him by the neck and you pull him out of the water and, I don't know, you scrape his arm or something like that, right? Save his life. A month later, you get a thing in the mail that the guy's suing you for an infection in his arm that he got because when you pulled him out of the water, you scraped him and he got some kind of infection. And you're being sued for $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's like, exactly.
And the nerve of these guys. Next time, don't save their ass.
Well, would have been...
That's going to happen. No comment?
No, I mean, I just think this is dumb. And it's going to be nothing but bad for the... I mean, the company's just not going to... They're going to be eating crap. I mean, people will be spitting in their face. You can see the CEO of this company and a member of the public will meet him. Oh, and they'll just spit at him. I mean, this is what's going to come down to.
Well, this is also at the same time when there's a new book out by Ace Greenberg, the former CEO of AIG, who was pissed off about the whole way all this went down. So who knows if there's a little bit of publicity stunt.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah, it might be a stunt for the book. It's possible. We always think almost everything's a stunt.
Right. Speaking of which, your latest stunt was an article about RIM moving higher. It's their time to shine. nothing like grabbing readers with a bullshit headline, huh? Tell me about that.
Well, I was looking at it from the perspective of if RIM can get... You know, RIM's made this come back from the dead a couple of times in its corporate history. And I was looking at it as, well, if maybe if this one time, if it could just quit trying to play, let's copy Apple and do something that works. Because I can't figure I mentioned that they screwed up big time with their last little flat panel phone and then that idiotic tablet, which didn't even really do anything.
That was the playbook was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So these guys can't be that, this should have, that's like getting slapped. And so I'm just taking a shot at the possibility that RIM may make some sort of a comeback, at least with my suggestion, by the way, which would be a two-sided phone, if you read that column carefully.
Well, that was the thing that we saw. Remember that Russian phone we saw with two sides?
Yeah.
And I have a friend who has a two-sided BlackBerry.
Well, there you go.
This is very cool. For work, he has to use a BlackBerry because he's on some kind of, high-end, secretive... company-based web thing, with their email. And he can't stand it, so what he did was he put this really heavy-duty Velcro thing on the back of the phone.
Yeah.
And he attached an iPhone to the other side.
Yeah, that's a two-sided phone, essentially.
I was honestly with him for 4 days. The whole time he's just spinning the phone from side to side. It was so funny to watch.
It would be perfect for the RIM people have always been slightly addicted to their phone, so having a two-sided phone might give them put them back in business because they always like to fool around the damn phone or the pager or the email machine that it used to be. Right. So this would give them the opportunity to go back and forth and back and forth. They could look at their stuff and then flip it over and type a message. I mean, it seems like a possibility.
I mean, what I think they really like...
I'm throwing these ideas into the public domain as a public service.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think what it is, that little rollerball. You ever see people just...
Yeah, they're fooling with that constantly.
What are they scrolling to? It's like
they're scrolling up, they're scrolling down.
What are they scrolling? I mean, you saw everything.
I find it to be annoying.
I mean, seriously. They just scroll. I'm like... Dude, you must have seen that. You must be in 3 months already down the line. Didn't you check that already? Crazy people. Want to talk about our stocks?
Yeah, we're rebooting.
Yep, we're in reboot mode. So here's what we got. Here's the official. By the way, we changed the settings here. We're on now the 2013 starting prices for the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones. That's on the bottom of this page. This is a great... Google spreadsheet that you can actually build one of these yourself to track.
What happened to all the stocks that I thought I was out on all these?
You are. These are all yellow.
Oh, okay. So we don't have anything. We're starting from scratch.
Yep, starting from scratch. Look at we changed some of the things on the top. We added a few things to make it look a little prettier.
But it looks like you got little hot buttons, as it were.
Yeah, a little hot button.
It would be nice if they had curved corners and had a dimensionality, but that's okay.
Yeah. And maybe a little more shapely.
We can have somebody do that for us.
I don't know if you could do that in this. This is a Google business spreadsheet.
I think you can put a little JPEG or a GIF in there.
Really?
I think so. I could be wrong. Whatever the case, here we are.
Let me see something here. Insert chart gadget image. Oh. Why don't you insert an image?
Yeah. Hmm. So just make it a hot image.
I could take a snapshot of myself right now.
You can make it a nice hot image and then click on it. Bing, instead of having it, what do you have here?
Very interesting. You always have such interesting things. We added some of the disclaimers, made it a little bit clearer, you know, what's going on here. And if you looked here now, it's on DH Unplugged. You can go there and click on the little weekly stock picking thing, which is, by the way, only a game, and don't do this without any kind of professional advice behind you. We're not recommending buying or selling anything. But what we're doing is we're putting, when we pick a stock for the week, we say, hey, maybe it's a good thing. We have a 10% stop loss that is automatic on this, and we're going to talk a little bit about changing that throughout the year. We talk about what the thesis is, and we put the ideas down. So just to let you know, I am going to be shorting Herbalife.
Oh.
Okay, that's Herbalife. And I'm going to go long. This is kind of there's a couple of things I want to possibly go long here. But I'm going to go long Apollo Group. Apollo Group is a for-profit educational firm. The stock came out with a great earnings report tonight, and of course it dropped the stock down about 3% after hours, or 4% after hours. But if you look at the stock and look at the chart, if there's any kind of push above 22, this is going to be really good. Stock beat earnings by about 30 cents per share. The only negative that I could see right now what's going on is that a 15% drop in enrollments. But that was kind of expected. The stock's been sold off dramatically. It's about 7 days to cover on short interest. So we'll see. Long on Apollo and short on HLF. So there you go. Anything that you'd like to do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
So I'm going to go long on a couple of items. I want to go long on some because, again, a lot of insider trading going on here. I want to go long on LYV.
LYV. What is that?
Live Nation Entertainment. That's one of the big
Live Nation. The ticket guys.
Yeah,
ticket
the big boys. The big boys.
Yeah.
And if you look at the chart, I think you see it might be breaking out.
Hmm. Okay. Great. Breaking out chart.
And sure. Also, then there's another one that Endeavor International looks like something. It looks like it might be a good bounce back.
Hang on, just writing it down. What's the symbol?
END could be the end of my stock picking.
insider buying. Okay, good. No shorts from you, huh? See, everybody, you get the beginning of the year, and people are just generally bullish.
Well, it's not that. I mean, I just don't see the market. I think that's the reason I'm not going to try shorts yet, because the market looks, it wants to go up, it seems to me. I mean, I could be wrong.
Some of these stocks, if you look at some of the names we had on here, I mean, look at Triple D. Wow. Pretty impressive. I mean, this is the last price, 51. I'm not sure where it is today, but the last few weeks, it's been unbelievable.
Yeah, actually, Triple D is a good company.
It's at 58 right now.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to keep going up.
Yeah,
because right now 3D printing is hot.
The other one is SLCA. SLCA, if you take a look at that chart just a little bit, it just broke out actually to, let me see if I can find what I'm looking for here. U.S. Silica Holdings. We have to get a little bit higher to be a real great breakout here, but man, it broke out beautifully the other day. It was up 10% yesterday, the day before yesterday. This is a stock that... U.S. Silica. Does Silica...
SLCA?
SLCA, yep.
U.S. Silica Holdings.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned this about 5-6 weeks ago on my podcast. Mm. Yeah, look at that pop, huh?
That's nice.
Yep. So this
what
is
do they do?
Company.
What's the deal? What did they...
as the name would describe, you know, silicone, silica products, industrial minerals... fiberglass, precision castings. They probably could have been involved in the Boeing situation now that I think about it, seriously. But one of the things they also have is they do a couple of things for the fracking industry, which is something that's kind of becoming very much, a desirous area to be in. So, they just have a whole bunch of industrial products. You know, something that you're probably familiar with, like calcined kaolin clay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know that one, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been following it.
They also work with magnesium for preparative and analytical chromatography applications. So there you go.
Well, let me try another one then, since we're going to go long on a few things.
Okay.
Corning.
It's Corning. Glow.
GLW.
fiber optics you like on that side?
No,
right?
I like the glass. The rumor is that they're going to use, it's not Gorilla Glass, but it's the next generation of Gorilla Glass, which is flexible. It's going to be on the new Apple TV.
What do you need a flexible? All right, help me here.
I don't think you need it to be flexible. I think it contributes to the lightness. I think the Apple TV is going to be... I think I wrote about this.
This is the crap they're pulling. I mean, listen, this is so ridiculous. Who cares if it was 20 inches, 15 inches behind? You're not going to see it anyway.
See what?
The backing, how thick it is. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, with what you're saying, except for the one simple thing that I believe to be true, and I could be wrong, but I believe it to be true, because Apple's got to do something a little different. I think it's going to be a wall hanging. It's got to be extremely light.
I think it should make just a whole wall then.
You could be able to pick this thing up. It's going to be 55 inches, maybe even 60. It's going to weigh like 5 pounds.
Yeah, take it with you. That'd be cool.
And you could take it and you just hang it. Well, roll it up. That'd be even cooler.
How about just fold it up and make it a kerchief
in your pocket? Hey, that's a nice thing you get there in your suit pocket. Oh yes, it's my TV.
But this is the whole BYOD concept, right?
Yeah, bring your own screen,
bring your own device. You know, bring your own device somewhere and just have a party. Bring an Xbox with you. Bring a big TV like that or whatever it is, or your iPad or your iPod, iPhone, whatever it is, and just play a game with a multi, you know, player gaming situation. And one guy, hey, who's bringing the roll-up TV?
Right.
I'm looking for when they have that really cool desktop keyboard without a keyboard, where it's those lights that shine on the desk.
I've played with those. I mean, they're around. You're just going to get carpal tunnel faster than imaginable. You need something. You need a spring device when you're typing, so it keeps your fingers from pounding away on a hard surface.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, we're running over. We don't want to run over.
All right, we're done.
We're done. And by the way, we do have one request. We have a few people that had written us, and we tweeted this. But if anybody's in the market to help us out here to redesign our awfully put together website.
It's not awfully put together. It's a simple template, the simplest of the templates. And we need something that looks like we know what we're doing, as opposed to just a couple of schlubs bloggers.
Right. So we want to change the look of who we are, even though we are who we are.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we want to make a good outward appearance here. So if anybody wants to do it and help us out, we'll give you all sorts of accolades and, you know, be...
And you could use us as an example of your great work.
Yes, absolutely. Just write either one of us. You could find us. Go over to you could actually tweet The Real Dvorak or Andrew Horowitz. Simply that. Add us to your Twitter accounts as well, because we have some very fascinating things to talk about. Stuff you shouldn't miss.
You're grouse about. Like, why did they play the NCAA BCS championship game on cable TV only?
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's just not right.
It's un-American.
Right. Yeah, terrible. All right, I'll talk to you maybe not next week. We're going
to
figure that
out.
Right,
you have to be in the Philippines next week. So 2 weeks, we'll be back on the air.
Yep, I'll see you then.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I'll feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.